You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Green Party MP Julianne Genta recently announced she'd be standing in the Mount Albert by-election against Labour MP Jacinda Ardern. Another candidate who's received less attention is Socialist Joe Carolan. BFM reporter Lillian Hanley spoke to him about why he's standing the challenge and the challenges that he faces.
I'm a local. I live in the area for the last 12 years. My kids go to school there. My partner works with the Play Centre and with the local Eco Neighbourhood Group in Owaraka. So I suppose the reason I'm standing is as a local activist. I work with Unite Union. We fight for low-paid workers. Last year we helped to defeat the zero-hours contracts. So that's a testimony to how people power can change things. And I think a lot of people getting switched off from mainstream politics, not only here in New Zealand, but internationally, as we've seen with like things like Brexit and Trump, because they feel that either it's something that's stitched up by the big parliamentary parties, or that the issues that they talk about have nothing to do with the ordinary lives that a lot of people are trying to survive in. And I think we should have a choice. There was a bit of an argument that no one should stand in this election, that National Party, for example, are not putting forward a candidate for their people to vote for. I think we have too little democracy in society, and we need more democracy. We need daily democracy. We need democracy in our workplace. And I'm standing as a radical alternative in the area, someone who stands for people power and for workers' rights.
So if you running as sort of like an independent, if you win this, you become an MP?
I'm standing as a socialist. I'm with a political party called Socialist Aotearoa.
Right.
But there's many left-wing groups on the left. I think that there's space to the left of Labour and the Greens here in New Zealand. The problem with politics is I think it's become very professional. It's by and large dominated by kind of liberal middle-class people. There's very few working-class voices anymore. And if you look back to the kind of golden age in New Zealand in the 30s and 40s, where Labour was very strong, where there was significant changes to social housing, state homes being built, wages increasing, that was when you had a lot of working-class voices within the Labour movement. And that's an argument, a discussion I want to have with the bigger parties. I actually believe that we need an alternative economic system. I don't want to reform capitalism. I don't want to tame it. I think we want to replace capitalism. We've about 10 years left on this planet to stop destroying it. And we've got an economic system that's addicted to profit, addicted to pollution. It needs to be ended, not reformed.
And by going into Parliament with that conversation, you think you'll be able to do that without a reform?
It would be very nice if I got elected to Parliament. But at this stage, I think I've got more modest goals. I want to see if there's 1,000 or 2,000 people in Mount Albert who agree with socialist politics, who agree that we need a radical change. And that would be a good base to start that work from. I also want to open up the discussion that we do need a strong working class left-wing party in New Zealand, and that could be formed with lots of other groups and unions. I was with the MANA movement. I think the MANA movement is a very good and important part of political life in New Zealand. It's right that it's Māori-led, that Tangata Whenua have their own voice in New Zealand. However, MANA doesn't have any plans this year to stand any candidates in the general election seats. And so for migrant workers, for poor working class Pākehā people or Pacifica people, I think they'll be searching for a vehicle to register their anger through. And if you like, this kind of by-election standing as a socialist, kind of starting a bigger discussion about, is there space for a radical alternative in New Zealand like we see elsewhere throughout the West rising?
So it's about pushing that movement and creating space for it to be talked about.
Yeah, and I mean, it's also very necessary that you have a radical alternative on the left. I mean, as the liberal politicians of the centre refuse to deal with the real problems working class people are faced with, be it low pay, be it 0 hours, be it living in garages, be it homelessness, high rents, etc., You know, the anger that people feel is not going to stay bottled up, or it's not going to be patronized by liberals for too much longer. And the danger is that unless you have a left-wing alternative that correctly says that your problems are caused by an economic system dominated by the rich, by the 1%, by these two individuals, for example, in New Zealand, who own more than 30% of the wealth of the country, you know, what a disgusting, unequal country we are becoming. If you don't have a radical left-wing point of view pointing to that problem, I think what you're seeing around the world is the re-emergence of a radical right-wing alternative that takes the anger that working class people feel, but instead of putting that anger towards the economic system, it starts to scapegoat gay people, it starts to scapegoat migrants like myself, starts to scapegoat people of color and say, we need to round these people up, we need to get rid of them, we need to build a wall, we need to send them home in trains. You know, we've seen what happened in the 1930s, and that is a danger as the center in political life collapses.
Just on that point about Julianne Genta and Jacinda Ardern being the other two main candidates, there was that Herald article saying that they are essentially the only candidates, really. What do you think about that in terms of how the media actually doesn't allow for that space either?
Well, what would you expect from the New Zealand Herald? The Herald is the boss's paper, you know, the Queen Street Gazette. Very few working class voices are actually readers of it anymore, with exceptions. Journalists are individuals. Simon Collins is an excellent journalist who's actually covered some of the union fights and the housing struggles that we've been part of on the ground. But the media is by and large run for profits. They're corporations themselves. It's no wonder that they just create space for establishment voices and don't give alternative voices a fair go. And look, I'm wise to that. I know about that. However, I think in this campaign, we're going to be doing a number of actions which I think will get some breakthrough, some cut through, and they're around the real issues that the establishment parties are not dealing with adequately. I would have loved to see Labour Party flags and Green Party flags this Monday out in Glen Innes to stop Nikki being evicted, you know, a 62-year-old woman who's suffering from cancer, who's facing an eviction in Glen Innes. There's hundreds of column inches from Labour and the Greens and other parties in these newspapers every month. But where are they on the ground when working class people are facing eviction or where they're on strike? I think we need to worry less about Parliament. We need to worry more about the workplaces and the streets that we live in. And that's why I want to be a strong voice for people in Mount Albert.
Irirangi Poho, Radio Bosom.
The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.